recognized as a trendsetter in women's wellness and leadership programs. And you are listening to the SOB Radio Network.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the second part of Transform Your Relationships. I hope you have listened to the first part because I have shared, I think, quite a number of interesting things there. And at the end of last week's episode, I announced that I would dive into the more challenging relationships and how to handle them today. Well, even toxic relationships. And I changed my mind a bit because it's just after Valentine's Day. So I will move talking about really dysfunctional and even toxic relationships to the next week, to the 15th episode. If that's okay with you, well, you have no choice in this because this is what I'm going to talk about today here. This episode will still be about how to transform your relationships. And yes, there is that rare occasion when you have to make a choice about whether you actually even want to continue in a relationship that burdens or stretches you just too much. But as I already shared with you last week, always be aware about your part in any given relationship. Because the danger is the tendency to look for what is wrong with the other first. So, and that's not just in love or close family relationships. That is true for any relationships. And I have experienced it in my in my business relationships where I have bought a service and I was really disappointed because I expected something very specific and I have only really seen it from my point of view and was furious when it wasn't fulfilled. As I already shared with you last week, always be aware that your thoughts, your feelings, and expectations play a big part in how you experience your relationship with others, right? And I strongly believe that none of our relationships arrive by chance, but that we actually attract them and for a reason, even when we are not consciously aware of that reason. And when we move into difficult relationships, it doesn't make sense to us. What kind of good reason or what kind of reason could that be? And still, I believe that relationships provide the greatest opportunity for us to grow and also the greatest opportunity to understand, forgive, and therefore expand our capacity for compassion and even unconditional love. Well, at least that's the ideal. That would be the mastery of life itself. Few of us have reached that divine state of unconditional love. So, but it's good to have that maybe as a big goal. But did you ever notice that whatever irritates you in others so much could be related to what you may need to look at and examine in yourself? I know that doesn't feel too comfortable, but it is a good way of examining your own behaviors, what disturbs you in others. You may have a relationship in your life right now that you don't understand and wonder why you are in this relationship or why you seem to attract the same type of person that you experienced such grief with in the past. And this has nothing to do with age. I believe this just follows us throughout our lives. So here it is. I want you to think about a relationship you have right now. Just one, maybe the first one that comes to mind. And ask yourself this: why am I in this relationship? And I want to give you a moment to examine and then do this often with even more time. So I just give you a minute here now to examine this question that you may want to ask yourself when you think of a relationship you are in right now. So, what did you come up with? But rather than just examine this after you finish listening to the show, or you can just pause it and then examine what you have come up with. You see, often we want something in particular from a relationship. And very often it is financial security, especially as a woman. You know, but very often this financial security may compromise your autonomy, right? And you become unconscious because that thought feels uncomfortable that you are in a relationship for financial security. So instinctively, you may become numb to yourself. Maybe you are fearful and insecure and look for a sister-like or brotherly relationship. Others may want a buddy for sports, you know, even golf, of course, for entertainment, for travel, or to study and share knowledge with a partner that has what maybe you are lacking. Maybe even to build another business or a hobby. Or just someone to comfort you, to grow old with, and share your joys and pains. I mean, there are so many reasons for relationships. There are actually as many reasons as your imagination allows. So it is a good exercise to start writing down what you actually desire the most in a relationship. And why? Why is it important to you? And this exercise is so valuable to do throughout your life. Yes, even in your 50s, in your 70s, and even 80s, because our relationships never really stop. You will have relationships until the day you die. So would you agree that we all have open and hidden agendas in our relationships? Sometimes we feel lucky, and at other times we feel like we deserve better. And occasionally we feel punished and don't know how to stay and make it better or let go and leave that relationship. And I have met so many women who just gave up because they thought that it is too late to change their relationship. Often it comes from fear of loneliness when somebody sticks to something that is not really working. After all, we do live in a youth-oriented society, so as we get older, we actually may fear loneliness. But it is never too late to transform or even leave a relationship. And it is never too late to attract to you who you want in your life. And I'm a little bit of an expert in that. But if this is not your belief, then you will try to stick it out. And then you may have these internal dialogues, blaming, blaming, and blaming, and becoming depressed. You don't want that. Because when a relationship goes sour, we often question how this could have happened. We are quick to judge and quick to blame, and even quicker to establish our right to be upset, to be disappointed, and feel unjustly penalized and even betrayed. Do you experience emotional turmoil, which feels like a never-ending roller coaster or merry-go-round that you cannot stop once it started? Because your mind and emotions can create such drama. And when you find yourself in this quagmire of emotional turmoil, it often means that your expectations have not been fulfilled and you are waiting. But what are you waiting for? A better relationship? Do you think this is just coming to you if you wait for it and complain? Do you really think that the responsibility lies with the other person to make you happy? I'm not saying that you should go into a relationship without any expectations, yet, yes, if you could let go of all expectations, you would have reached personal illumination and self-mastery. But the reality is that we do have expectations of certain outcomes in our relationships. And there is, of course, a desire to have the best relationship possible, not to get hurt, not to be disappointed. Having our expectations fulfilled, well, of course, that would make us really happy. Unfortunately, life may have another agenda. Your soul may have another agenda. You see, we need to understand that we do have certain agreements that are part of every relationship. Agreements need to be taken seriously, yes. They need to be mutually agreed upon and honored. But that does not mean that you have a blood contract. And you remember, if you listened to my last episode, that I talked quite extensively about this, the marriage or this death until death does you part. It is not a blood contract. And the healthy relationships develop over time. And they change and move and breathe. Because a relationship is a living entity. And a living entity is never stagnant. Yes, I know it hurts when our expectations are not fulfilled. It hurts when we don't understand why, at least in our opinion, something went so wrong. How could this have happened? Yet as long as we are in that kind of mind frame and emotional upheaval, we cannot really see any deeper purpose. What we have to do is we often have to remove ourselves in the moment, mentally, so that we can observe a situation from a kind of impersonal position, not being in it, but looking in from the outside. I know it's not easy, but there is something that I want to make you aware of that really helps. What is that? What helps? It's acceptance of what is and time. But if you don't accept what is, you cannot even transform or change it. You first have to accept it. And time changes or corrects everything. Time really plays a big factor in our lives and our relationships. Time regulates everything. And this is actually an immutable law of the universe. And here is the cycle of it. There is a budding in the beginning, a ripening in the middle, and I'm talking about relationships now. So a budding in the beginning, a ripening in the middle, and decay in the end. And then a new beginning, and a new end, and a new beginning. And so it goes on, and it is the rhythm of our life. And it doesn't mean that every relationship needs to end for another to happen. Within the relationship, those cycles, the bigger and smaller cycles of that are happening. We don't always experience this consciously, that endings and new beginnings are part of even our long-standing relationships. And yet they are. And let me share with you that even when you end a relationship, nothing gets lost, nothing, ever. The love you have shared with somebody at any time during your life will go on forever. That energy is there and will never die. And love actually cannot be erased. The person can die or leave the relationship or change it, but the energy and frequency of the love that was shared will live on forever, even if that love turns into something else. But since we are love, that something else can be loved free. And I know this is a big subject, and when you become my client, that's what we often talk about, how to love something free. And I do know, and we all experience, that ending a relationship with a person can be very painful and can escalate into a big drama even. And yet the drama is an illusion, or it is a defense at best, a game of the ego and its instinct to protest change. When these things happen, your ego is angry, maybe frightened. It feels threatened, not safe, maybe even furious. But it is unnecessary drama, nothing more. You may say, yes, right, Angelica, I can get this as a concept, but in reality, the drama feels unavoidable and actually sickening. Even after years, it still sticks with me, sometimes causes me sleepless nights, robs my energy, robs my joy. And when I think I'm over it, this whole drama with all the ugly memories get triggered over and over again. How do they get triggered? By the slightest memory of even something similar, or a sound, a tune, a song, a smell, visiting a place that you visited together. So let me briefly talk about the soulmate relationship here. So let me just briefly share something with you here. You may think that the void in your life, if you have a void, the ache in your heart, and the lonely hours could be filled by this imagined soulmate. Your search could become emotionally draining, though, because you compare your life to those of your friends and seemingly perfect characters from books and even movies. Your wanting may create a tug of war between excitement of the possibility that you may find the one, even at your age. And why not? And then the unsettling feeling that you will never be that lucky, that you may even be undeserving. So let us explore together what your soul is and what it is not. I love actually this quote from Rumi, one of the greatest sages of the East, and recognized as such in the West as well. And here is this quote by Rumi. The soul is here for its own joy. So what if this is the truth? What if you attract the soulmate who contracted to facilitate a major awakening in you? You may think that this could only be bliss, right? So let me ask you, have you ever progressed on your spiritual path with a bliss bunny? I love that word. Yes, it feels wonderful to be understood and to share the same or very similar thoughts and concepts. It is bliss to be in love. Yet, the awakening process is mostly stimulated through what we experience as pain. Yes. The soul is not in pain, is never in pain, but the ego is. So your soulmate may have contracted to facilitate your spiritual growth by what looks like inflicting a painful experience, challenging you, exposing your insecurities and your false beliefs. So if you just ask your soul to attract to itself that which still needs to be illumined and experienced, you can trust that that new energy will move into your life. It could come in the shape of a woman or man, a lover or friend. It matters not. And yet, we yearn for the other half of our fractured soul, the woman or the man that can fulfill our need for sameness. But it is a misunderstanding about the true nature of your soul. Your soul is complete and in no need of any special other to make it whole. So, right now, just take a moment and wrap your arms around yourself and sway and rock yourself lovingly and smile. Feel yourself and allow from the deep inside of you a rising your soul's awesome beauty. Because your soul is your most intimate confidant. It's your true mate, your soulmate. Yes, your soul is your mate. If you are in a bit of a difficult partnership, practice acceptance on openness. It is really your choice alone when it comes to your feelings. Rather than feeling pressured, sad, or disappointed, love your partner's soul and disregard the weak or insecure human shell. I believe that it is important to honor your and the other person's uniqueness. And yes, as I said earlier, there are times when that relationship may have come to an end, when it has fulfilled its purpose. But here is what I want you to write down, because it is a secret that I want you to remember and take advantage of, especially in difficult times. Ready? Please write this down. There are actually two things that I want you to write down. The first is, do not let any outer circumstances dictate your inner state. And the second one is, you always have a choice about how you want to feel. Because this is you, only you can feel and change that. So here again, the second, you always have a choice about how you want to feel. If you can practice this, you stay free from regret or blame. And it really does not matter whether you are with or without a partner, or at whatever stage in your life, you are never alone. So there is no cause to feel lonely or sad. If you took the time to allow your inert, your soulmate, to warm your heart and stimulate your body, it should be easy and enjoyable to feel loved and celebrated whenever you want to feel that feeling. Because it is within you. It is your soul. Your soul is your soulmate. Do not forget that you alone are responsible for your own happiness. So now that Valentine's weekend is just over, you may have had unfulfilled expectations, or the contrary, you were surprised by a true sign of love and devotion. Whichever it is, just let it be and embrace it either way. Everything is a gift, no matter how you declare it or how you quantify it or qualify it. And this is how I want to leave you today. And the next episode will then be actually about more challenging relationships, abusive relationships, toxic relationships, because those, if you have never experienced one, feel blessed. But many of us have, and maybe still carry forward the scars, the pain, the heaviness of it. And I want to help you with that.